Well, good morning. My name is Ron Dozier. I'm the campus pastor here. So delighted to be with you today as we start kick off this brand new series called Running to Easter. And because we're running to Easter, I got on my running shoes. I don't know if you can see them right here. So I'm just checking out there, make sure if you're, we're going to be running to Easter. So make sure, man, next week, make sure you bring your running shoes so that we can all run together. Just in a little bit, we're going to be looking at the New Testament book, Hebrews. Hebrews, the writer is anonymous. We're going to be taking a look at that as we consider just some wonderful things that we need to know as we run towards Easter. A couple of things that we believe around here before we jump into Hebrews, and one is this, is that this Bible that I hold is a library, not a book. And one of the things that we do consistently every single week is this Bible is a library that's unlike any other library in the world because it's inspired, it's eternal, and it's true. So for that, we lift it up. It's our way of saying and announcing to the world that we don't worship the Bible, but we do worship the God of the Bible. And we are determined to follow in the footsteps of the one who has remained faithful by obeying this word that we hold up. Amen? Amen. And before I begin, let us begin with a word of prayer. And as I pray for the message, I'm also praying for the team led by Pastor Talbot that's there in India, serving and teaching all these pastors and leaders, equipping them to do the work of the ministry as well. So let us all pray together. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the good work that's happening in India, and thank you for that team made up of Pastor Talbot, Director of Missions, Christy Smith, Family Ministry Pastor, Devin Tharp and his wife, Tia. Continue to enrich them and pour into them as they pour into all those hundreds of pastors and leaders that are serving there. And Lord, for us here, we pray that your Holy Spirit would allow me to preach with strength, demonstration of your spirit and power. For our faith doesn't rest in the wisdom of men, but it rests in the spirit of you. So thank you, Lord. Pour out into the lives of your people. In everything we do, we seek to honor you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and let all who agree say together, amen. 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 When I call to mind the footsteps of one, Pastor Timothy Ruffin. He started New Life Bible Institute in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, of which I am a graduate. He planted the seeds, passion for serving and mission. Those seeds have sprouted not only in my life, but in the life of so many that are out there serving the Lord, both locally, nationally, and even internationally. When I consider what his life witnessed, the witness that it brings, someone who faithfully taught the word of God, despite the obstacles, despite the spiritual opposition, despite himself being on a cancer journey, he taught the word of God all the way to the finish line. When I think about people like Sister Ethel Johnson, she was short in stature, but she had such a strong faith. We used to do hospital visits and home visits and Dallas, Texas, and everywhere we went, I could always count on Sister Ethel Johnson doing this one thing. Somewhere along the visit, she would begin to break out in a song, and she would begin to say, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And if you knew, it's like she would sing that song and the person that we were visiting, they would perk up because she pointed to an invisible reality, the presence of Jesus, that all of a sudden became so personal as we were there thinking about and ministering to to somebody else. Her footsteps are worthy of following. Who is it for you? Could be a family member, a friend, could be a leader, somebody as you look at their life and you consider how their faith followed hard after Jesus all the way to the finish line, how it provides a motivation and an inspiration for you. It's heartwarming. But then there are others that it's heartbreaking because they may have started one way, now they've turned around and they're heading in another direction. For whatever reason, they've abandoned the faith. And now this story brings great heartbreak to me, and I'm sure if you know somebody like that, it breaks your heart as well. What do both of these persons have in common? What they have in common is what the writer we're going to see in the book of Hebrews is they both started the race. They both started the race, but one continued and followed faithfully to the finish line. The other turned and abandoned the faith. I don't know about you, but at the end and at the finish line, I want to hear, well done, as opposed to what have you done? Abandoning the faith and forfeiting the rewards that Jesus purchased with his own blood. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read the first three verses there. It starts this way. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, the anonymous writer of Hebrews, he elevates Jesus as someone who's superior. Jesus is better than anyone or anything that these followers of his previously were connected to. The book of Hebrews points to Jesus as better than Moses, better than anything that the institution represented. It said, no, why turn around and go back when everything that you have going forward is much better? He says, don't give up and don't throw in the towel. Matter of fact, we're here in chapter 12, but to get the understanding, you got to go back to chapter 10 and verse 35, where he gives this encouragement and warning simultaneously. He says, don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. Having done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. He then spends chapter 11 giving example after example of people who didn't give up but continue to run the race. Our Christian life can be considered like a race, only it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Somebody ought to say amen. And the way that we move forward is by faith. We move forward by faith. Now, faith isn't just a one-time event. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is a way of trusting in the Lord. Faith always has a focus. It centers itself on something outside of itself. We don't have faith in our faith. No, faith attaches itself to God. It gets into our feet. You see, faith is action-oriented. So faith without works, James says, is useless because faith is action-oriented. It sees what God says, it gets into our feet and begins to move forward. Faith believes that God has integrity. God says it, and we believe it and we move forward in it. And the writer of Hebrews is encouraging the fellow believers to keep moving forward. Don't turn around, don't go back, but move forward and deeper in the Lord Jesus. And I just love this passage because it points out how we can follow in the footsteps of those who remain faithful all the way to the finish line. Do you want to be faithful to follow all the way to the finish line? And the first way that we do that is, first of all, we have to realize that we're surrounded. He begins by hammering home a fact that you want to nail down and hammer home this truth. He says, you got to realize that you're surrounded. He said, therefore, 12:1a, since we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses. You see, the author had just listed all the names of these witnesses in chapter 11, of whom the audience should have been familiar. A lot of people consider Hebrews chapter 11 as the hall of faith. I consider it the faith files. Everyone mentioned in these faith files was not perfect, but they continued to trust God all the way to the end. And their race bears witness to people who didn't give up. You'll read a repeated phrase in chapter 11. It says, by faith, and then it lists the person's name. By faith, and then it lists the next person's name. One faith file that really encourages me as I run the race for the Lord is the faith file of Abraham. I like to grab his file and lift it out because Abraham's life answers the questions, three in particular, that we face as we run hard after Jesus and when we run our race. The question of where, have you ever asked the Lord where? Hebrews chapter 11 and 8 says this. By faith, Abraham, when God called him to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You ever felt like, God, where are you taking me? If I had to tell you 20-some years ago, or even probably 4 years ago, where I'll be standing right now, I couldn't have predicted it. But following after the Lord, you may, Lord, where are you going? But yet Abraham, he followed the Lord, not even know exactly where he was going, but he knew who he was following. Then the question of when, Hebrews 11:11 says this, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. You ever ask the question of when? God promised Abraham and Sarah a son, and even though they tried to help God out, amen, don't we try to help God out sometimes? They tried to help God out, they considered God faithful, and they waited on the Lord, and then years later, they finally, even though they were up in age, they finally received the promise. Some of you today are waiting on the when from the Lord. And these examples inspire us to keep on moving forward, even when the when hasn't happened yet. And then the question of how. Abraham's file in verses 17 and 18 said, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God has said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. The promise was supposed to come through Isaac, and yet Abraham, because God tested him, asked him to sacrifice it, his son, Abraham would have, he raised a knife, he would have carried that out. But the Lord provided a ram in the bush, even though Abraham didn't know how. He reasoned that God could raise the dead. That's not how God answered the dilemma. He provided a ram in the bush. Abraham was willing to obey God by faith even when he didn't know how God was going to do it. So as we run this race, we face the question of where. God, where are you taking me? When is this going to happen? Or how are you going to work it out? But through Abraham's faith file, his example, it encourages us that we can leave the questions of where, when, and even how. Where? In God's capable hands. We trust God as we move forward, understanding that we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses and all these stories of people that surround us. See, you gotta know that. By faith, you can see the people that are surrounding you. On hospital visits, I now share about a team of prayers who have been praying for the person that I'm getting ready to pray with. You see, that's a fact. Because on Thursdays at 12 o'clock, there's a whole group of people that gather in room 304 and pray for people. And then there's a whole other group of people that are just from this church that are praying for all the prayer requests that come in. That's a fact. That is substance. Now, when I go to the hospital and I'm getting ready to pray with somebody, those prayers aren't with me. So they don't see what I'm getting ready to say. I share with the person, you may see me, but there's a we. There's a group of people that are praying for you. That's a fact. That's substance. And I pray that the invisible people will become visible as you see the reality by faith of a group of people that are surrounding you, even your bed in the hospital right now. They become visible because you take me at my word saying that there's a group of people that are praying for you. Well, let me tell you, God's word is stronger than my word. Somebody ought to say amen. And his word becomes visible in our life when we take him at his word. Faith, we can step out and step into what he says. And right here in the beginning, the writer of Hebrews wants to know, he says, since, that's a fact, by faith, you are surrounded by people whose life bears witness that they were faithful all the way to the finish line. And you might say, I don't see anybody around me, but I'm telling you, it's a fact. He said it. By faith, you ought to believe it and settle into it, be encouraged by their life. Realize that you're surrounded. But not only that, we're surrounded, but we need to get rid of some things that hinder us. Chapter 12, it says, verse 1b, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Recently, my wife and I went to see our son in Seattle. I couldn't wait to get out there and walk with Christian and spend time talking and walking with him. And I decided, because it rains a lot, anybody know it rains a lot in Seattle? Amen, it rains a lot in Seattle. I take these on cloud waterproof running shoes. So I took them with me, I put them on, and we started walking and talking, and it was raining, it was pouring down. About 2 miles into the walk, my feet started to get real heavy. Those waterproof shoes felt like concrete cinder blocks. There you go. You see, in and of themselves, the shoes weren't bad. They just hindered my ability to walk at that particular time. What the writer of Hebrews is saying, he says, let us throw off everything and the sin. Do you know that there's some things that God is asking us to release or unhitch from? Not necessarily sin, they might be good things, but they hinder our ability to follow hard after Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. You know, some friendships that we have, we need to unhitch from. some attitudes we need to unhitch from. Why? Because they hinder our ability to follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ. I made a vow that during this election season, I am not going to hate anybody. I'm a vote, but I'm just not going to hate. Somebody say amen. I've determined that I'm not going to hate anybody. No matter what somebody says or does, I'm determined that in my attitude is going to align like a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we'll be a whole host of people that are able to show the difference that Jesus makes in our lives, because we're not willing to hate anybody. Amen? But we're going to be kind. Somebody say, be kind. Show the love of God in the middle of all of that. Do you know that unforgiveness can hinder our ability to run our race for Jesus? And even for me, the biggest thing is my pride. And my pride comes in the form of being a people pleaser. And when you're centered on pride, it means to set God aside. And the work is too important for me to set God aside, because I need the Lord to be in the center of the work that we do. But then let us run with perseverance. He says, have a relentless determination. Don't be as ones that just give up and throw in the towel. No, we gotta run with this relentless determination. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but I lost 26 pounds. Hey, I didn't do it in a weekend. It took over a year. But let me tell you the part that really encourages me is all the encouragement that I received along the way. Because there were many times where I felt like I didn't want to get up and get out there and walk early in the morning. I didn't want to be disciplined and stick to a diet. But the encouragement I received for other people to, hey, you can do it. You can be disciplined. You can do that. It made me say, Lord, I'm going to extend the effort. I'm going to do my part so that you will be glorified in the end, so that you can be glorified through it. Do you know I'm looking at a whole sea of encouragers, that we encourage one another? He said, let us, do you hear that? We can lean into that. We can encourage one another. Do you know many times that I'm out there walking, I'm seeing other people walk and do that, I begin to pray and ask the Lord, I pray that they're able to meet their goal. I pray that you allow us to have a conversation as we walk together where I can point them to you. He says, let us encourage one another, not giving up. Your perseverance provides a picture of a person that's walking with you as your companion. You see, here it is. The ability to withstand pressure, to push through the pressure, is proof of possession. It's proof of God's presence in your life. On Tuesday, we're going to have the first of a monthly memory cafes. And that's for people to come and bring their loved ones that are on a dementia or Alzheimer's journey. There's going to be games and food and fun and fellowship. They can bring, their caregiver brings them in. We're going to play all sorts of games and do all that. But you know what that was born out of? Perseverance. Annabelle Sudriff and Tammy Calvin, who had been on a journey with their loved one with dementia. And then even after passing of their loved one, they were determined to continue on, to run that race and provide an opportunity for other people to be helped. See, when I look at them, I see Jesus, who provides the strength and the perseverance, not only to go through, but to get through, and allows us to point people back to him. Because the last point, and it says this here, the writer says that we ought to do this. Verses 2 and 3. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He says we ought to remain focused. We ought to fix our eyes upon who? Do you know many times as we're running our race, as we're going through our difficult times, we fix our eyes on everything else, the circumstances that we're going through, the opposition that we face. But he says we got to remain focused, fixing our eyes upon Jesus. You know, the one who entered us into the race. He's the one who inaugurated the race. He is going to be there to receive us when we're done. And when I see in Jesus, I see a victorious Savior standing at the finish line, encouraging us to keep moving forward. And he was willing to suffer for us, to empower us to run our race, he's now seated in a place of exaltation at the right hand of God. The question becomes, how do we see Jesus? The disciples saw him when he was risen as someone who had completed the race, who for the joy, the Bible says, that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and now is sat down at the right hand of God on high. I believe his brother Jude, in his book, at the conclusion, he says this, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen. Do you know what Jesus' joy was? That he was willing to endure all of that? That he was going to present all of us who finished the race as sinless before the Father. His love for us motivated him to keep going, to die on the cross, to experience all of that heartache, all of that rejection, all of that suffering, all so that he can present the sinful as sinless before the throne of grace. Somebody ought to say amen. When I consider that it's the work of Jesus, the blood that he shed is the only reason why I'm going to be standing before the Lord, I can't help but to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for finishing the race and giving me the strength to be able to run even harder, to persevere through the problems and the struggles. He says, moreover, consider Jesus. That means to consider, as the word means to count up, to look to him. We can learn from him. We can lean on him. The physical pain, the rejection, the betrayal, the injustice, anything that we can face, he faced it first. He understands. He's intimately acquainted with everything we go through. And yet he calls us to lean in so that he can encourage us as we run our race. Do you know that many people, it happens all the time, I do it myself. Many people will come to God and ask him, Lord, I need you to fix my problems, fix my marriage, fix my job, fix my kids. Lord, fix me. And the answer comes back from heaven. You want me to fix, but are you fixing? Are you fixing your eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith? Have you taken your eyes off of all of these things that surround you and centered them on the one that loves you, who died for you, who will empower you, Will you line up your feet to follow in what he says by faith? Because faith attaches itself to substance. When I show you in my word what I'm asking you to do, are you willing to fix your eyes upon Jesus and follow him, follow his truth as he brings liberty and freedom and strength as we run our race? As I said, as we won our race, it was Jesus who took our place on the cross. And we ought to be forever grateful and thankful. The punishment that we deserve, it was Jesus who incurred it. So if we're going to follow in the footsteps of those who remain faithful, and we're going to do it all the way to the finish line. Somebody ought to say amen. The way we do it, we got to realize that we're surrounded. That greater cloud of witnesses. Pull out those faith files. Let the lives of others who ran the race encourage you. But then we got to get rid of some things. Some things may be good. Like my own, I'm not throwing those shoes away. I'm just not going to use them to run my race. Somebody say amen. But even more than that, we got to fix our eyes upon Jesus. As we're asking him to fix, we got to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Because when we do that, we're going to run towards Easter following the footsteps of those who remain faithful, and most of all, following the one who was so faithful to the Father by going to a rugged cross, being buried, and rise again the third day, now in a place of exaltation, waiting to receive all of us runners that are going to faithfully follow all the way to the finish line so that we can hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Let us pray. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for all the ways that you demonstrated perseverance through the rejection, through the pain, through the suffering. That didn't stop you, Lord. But you were determined to die, to be buried, to rise again the third day so that you could present all of us as faultless to God the Father. Even those who had sinned are going to stand before him sinless because of your work on the cross. We love you, Lord, and we look to you. In Jesus' name that we pray, let all who agree say together, amen. Amen. Amen.